Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you on that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time by the grace of God. We thank the Lord for 18 years now. We have been bringing these broadcasts to you, and we praise the Lord for this day. It's a beautiful day, the day the Lord has made. And so today we're going to be talking about a great subject in God's Word. We're going to be talking about the Trinity. And this is a very important concept. It's a very deep concept, and yet at the same time, it's very simple once you grasp it. But many people have confusing and conflicting viewpoints about the Trinity. What is the Trinity, and how God expresses himself in three persons to us? And so we're going to be looking at some scripture in the Bible. If you have your Bible there today, turn it to Genesis, the very first chapter of the Bible, Genesis 1. And in verse 1, we'll take that up here in just a minute. Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. Today, we're going to be talking about a very important subject in the Bible, and it is the Trinity. We'll take that up here in just a minute. But first, I want to give you an update on what is going on here in Kenya. We're moving into the short rain season, they call it, or we would call it fall in America, the short rain season. And we have a time of rain, September, October, November, when it rains quite a bit. And so we have a second planting of maize and beans and vegetables. We can have two seasons of planting here of our main staple crops, maize and beans. And so that's a blessing upon the people here of Kenya. We have about 25 children in the children's home, and so we're going to be needing school fees for the fall term here in just a few days. So if you feel led to and the Lord puts it on your heart, send in some money to put on these children's school fees. We need to get them all in school. Some are in special schools, and some are in secondary school, boarding schools, and then the bulk of them are in a public school, a Catholic public school. And so if you feel led to, we would appreciate your support in keeping these children in school. The church is going well. We're having good church services, full house every Sunday, and we still have in mind to build a school out there in Makunda Village. We have an acre to build upon, but we need another acre beside it for a schoolyard, for a playground. And so keep that in your prayers as well. And we have contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast, so stay tuned for that. Well, today we're going to be talking about a big subject. The reason I want to talk about the Trinity and preach about the Trinity is here in Kenya we're seeing a move to have a doctrinal discussion about the Trinity, and some churches are saying that Jesus Christ is the only God, that all the facets of the Godhead or all the persons of the Godhead are incorporated into just one person, that's Jesus Christ, and so they call that the Jesus only teaching, the Jesus only doctrine. And some other people are saying that it is all, everything is in God, that all the persons of the Trinity are in God, God the Father. And so it's easy to pick out certain particular scripture in the Bible to support either one of those positions. And in most cases, when people pick one of those two positions, that the Godhead is incorporated just in the Father or just in Jesus, they don't really talk much about the Holy Spirit. And that's the problem, one of the main problems. They don't have an understanding of the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit abides with us and teaches us and instructs us. Without the Holy Spirit, you really can't study God's Word and discern the truth of God's Word and understand God's Word the way God desires for us to. And so you have to have an understanding and a knowledge and an abiding with the Holy Spirit, then you can understand the Trinity much better. Either one of those positions, that God is all incorporated in just Jehovah God the Father, or that God is incorporated just in Jesus Christ the Son. Either one of those positions are doctrinally incorrect. They're doctrinal heresy. And whenever you have doctrinal heresy, anytime the Trinity is fudged or cheated or misinterpreted or distorted, anytime you have a distortion of the Trinity, you have a cult situation that is arising. And many times the cult situation not only arises, but it takes full force. And if you look in the cults in America, if you look into their doctrinal statements, what do they believe about Jesus Christ as the Son? What do they believe about Jehovah God? We have in America, we have Jehovah's only, or we have disciples of Yahweh only. They don't have a proper understanding of God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so when you have, again, doctrinal heresy and cheating on the Trinity, you end up with a cult, and you end up with people that are doctrinally incorrect, and so they don't have an understanding of God's Word. And so that leads to errors in salvation, leads to errors in walking with the Holy Spirit and abiding with the Holy Spirit. It leads to errors in interpretation of many of the scripture in the Bible, many of the stories in the Bible. And so it's very, very important to have a proper understanding of the Trinity. So we're going to spend a little time looking at the Trinity and studying it and seeing how the concept unfolds here in the Bible. Well, before we start, I should also say that the word Trinity is not in the Bible. You won't see it anywhere where God says in His Word, this is the Trinity, in that concise of language. But the concept and the reality of the Trinity is all through God's Word. It's in every book of the Bible. It's in every chapter. And so as you study God's Word, if you have a proper understanding of the Trinity, you have a proper understanding then of God's Word, and you have a proper understanding of God. And when you understand God, you know God, you get an intimate relationship, and you move into an intimate relationship with God and with Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. Beloved, that is God's will for your life. He predestined you to be conformed into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. And so He predestined you to know Him, to become an intimate partner, an intimate son and daughter of Him. And so with that being said, understand that it is God's will for us to know the Trinity. It is God's will for us to know Him and all the persons of the Trinity in an intimate way. And you can when you seek the Lord. The Lord says, seek me and you will find me. Well, in Genesis 1:1, the very first verse in the Bible, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. That's verse 2. And darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, was hovering over the face of the waters. So there in the first two verses of the Bible, you have a mention of God the Father, Yahweh, and you have a mention of the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Well, you might ask yourself, where is Jesus Christ in the creation? Was Jesus around in the creation? Well, we know that He is. We know that He was, because in Colossians 1:16, the Apostle Paul says this, for by Jesus were all things created. Paul's discussing Jesus Christ as the Creator, and doctrinally, the Apostle Paul says, for by Him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they are thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And so we know from that, from what the Apostle Paul says about the creation and Jesus Christ's role in the creation, we know that all three, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ were there and in the beginning at creation, and even more than that, that they were in unity, that they were in unison, that all things that they did together. And through Jesus Christ, all things were created. And so we have God the Father created the heavens and the earth, but he created it through Jesus Christ, and the earth was out without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the earth, and the Spirit was hovering over the face of the waters. And so the Trinity was there at the beginning, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Well, let's look on over then to Genesis 1:26. When it came time for God to create man, there was complete unity there as well. This was not an aberration. It was not something that was just done by accident. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit made man in their own image. And so in Genesis 1:26, it tells us, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Well, the fact that it says, let us make man in our image, and after our likeness, proves that there was divine consultation by the Trinity. In other words, there was unity. There was unity of purpose, unity of essence, unity in creation, unity in every way possible. And we are created then in the image of God. God has hands, God has feet, God has eyes, God has ears, God has a soul, God has a spirit, and so we too then have a spirit, a soul, a body, because we are created in the image of God. And if you look back through Genesis, you see many times that phrase, and after each kind, a reproduction was made, and after each kind, and a reproduction was made. And so it is so with man. After each kind, the kind of God created man was made after the image of God. He was created, we are created in the image of God. And so it wasn't just a random creation, there was a pattern. The pattern was God, and so we are created in that image. We are created in the image to look like God, and after our kind, which is God the Father. And if you look at Genesis 1:24, it says, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth, each according to its kind." And it was so. And so we are created according to our kind, according to our Father in heaven. We are created to look like him, to act like him, to be like him. In fact, when Adam and Eve were created, they walked with God. They walked with God in the cool of the morning in the Garden of Eden. They looked like God. They communicated with God. They had perfect unity with God until they fell, until they made an agreement with the devil. They had perfect unity and perfect communion with God in the Garden of Eden. Well, in Genesis 11:6, at the rebellion of man, we looked first at the creation of man. That was Genesis 1:26. Now, in the rebellion of man at the Tower of Babel, we have in Genesis 11:6, "And the Lord said, behold, the people are one, and they have all one language, and this they began to do," which was to rebel against God. And so this is a story of the rebellion against God by man. And so the people had gone out to Shinar. They were led by Nimrod. And they went out to Shinar in the plain out there. And they had an idea to rebel against God. Well, we don't know exactly what they were going to do, but they were trying to build some kind of a tower, maybe to try to reach the heaven, maybe to try to look at the stars and worship the stars, worship the heavens. And so God and the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ went down there to look, and they said, "Now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do." In other words, in their rebellion, they had purpose to build this tower, and in their rebellion, God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit saw that whatever mankind decided to do, he would be able to accomplish, or he would attempt to do whatever type of rebellion came into his heart, he would attempt to do. And so this is why God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit came down and looked at this situation. Well, in verse 7 in Genesis 11, it says, "Come, let us go down there and confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." And so the Lord scattered them abroad from there upon the face of the earth, and they stopped building that city. Therefore, the name of the place is called Babel, because the Lord there confounded the language, or confused the language, of all the earth. And from there, the Lord scattered abroad across all the earth. And so at that point in time, prior to that time, they were able to communicate. They were able to purpose in their heart and carry out their plan. But when the Lord went down, the Lord Yahweh and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit went down, then they confused the language, and it made it impossible for them to communicate their plans and communicate their ideas to each other without confusion arising in that situation. And so we have the very same thing today. God spread the people out. He's the one that created the nations. God has nations for purposes. He has boundaries for purposes. God has purposes for boundaries. He has purposes for nations. You can't go into Uganda from Kenya without going through immigration and checkpoints and looking, having the officials look at all your documents. And that's all right. God's okay with all that. He believes in boundaries. He believes in law and order. He believes in controlling immigration. And so that is God's plan. He says, "Go into all the nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching all that I've commanded to you. And lo, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the age." And so God's plan is the nations. His plan is the boundaries. His plan is law and order. His plan is to have checkpoints. And so, beloved, that's just part of God's plan. It came about at the Tower of Babel when he confused their language and scattered them all over the earth. And so we have here in Kenya 43 tribes, all with different languages, all with their indigenous language. I work with the Luhya tribe out here in Kakamega County in Kenya, and the Luhya tribe has 17 dialects of just their own language, just the Luhya language. And then next door is the Luo people, and they have dialects of their language. And on down from them is the Kisi people, and they have dialects of their language. And so this is just God's plan. You go to Congo, you'll see 250 tribes, all with different languages and dialects within the languages. And so this is God's plan, and it is a plan to confuse, but God has another plan to bring people back to each other and allow them to communicate with each other through the language of the Holy Spirit. Well, I'll talk about that on a different day, but for now, we know that the language of the Holy Spirit brings people back together for the purposes of God and for the plan of God to be revealed to them so that they can talk about it with each other, talk about it, and carry out the plans that God gives them in their life. Well, we're going to jump over to the New Testament and take a look here in Matthew chapter 3, and we see a very distinct and explicit description. In Matthew chapter 3, we see a very distinct illustration, an explicit illustration of the Trinity. And this is one of the more beautiful passages here in the New Testament. And it is a unveiling or a revealing of Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and a revealing of the Holy Spirit to empower Jesus Christ into ministry. And John the Baptist is out in the Jordan River, and he's baptizing the people that come to him. He's baptizing even some Pharisees that come out to him, and the Pharisees come out. And in Matthew 3:8, John tells them, "Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance. And do not think to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father,' for I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." So John is preaching repentance. He's preaching and people are coming. He's baptizing people. And lo and behold, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, comes out, and he comes to the Jordan River also to be baptized. We'll take this up in verse 13. It says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and yet you are coming to me?' But Jesus answered and said to him, 'Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness.' And then John allowed him." And so Jesus said, this is the righteous thing to do. Even though Jesus had no sin, he had no reason to repent. He had no reason to have sins washed away, which is our reason to be baptized. Jesus had none of that, but he was foreshadowing or pointing to the fact that when he went to the cross, he would be taking on the sins of the whole world. And so he was pointing to the fact that just like every other man, he needed to be baptized. Just like every other man, he needed to have his sins washed away, which in the Spirit, baptism represents that, the washing away of sins and a new creation standing before God. That's what baptism represents, standing before God with a clean conscience as your sins are washed away. And so Jesus said to John, "Permit it for now, for this has to be done to fulfill all righteousness." In other words, to fulfill everything that God has told me to do, and for God's plan for my life, for God's plan for mankind, Jesus said, "I need to be baptized." And so John baptized him. Verse 16, "And when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" And so this is a very dramatic depiction, illustration, reality, realization, manifestation, however you want to say it, of the Trinity. Jesus goes down in the water, and the Holy Spirit alights on him. When he comes up out of the water, the Holy Spirit descends on him like a dove and alights on him. And suddenly a voice came saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And so there you have the Trinity. God the Father speaks from heaven. God the Son is in the water, comes out of the water of baptism, a new creation ready for ministry, and the Holy Spirit then empowers him at that point, comes and descends upon him and alights upon him. And is an illustration of the fact also that when we are born again, when we are born and a new creation in Christ Jesus, that we also are empowered by the Holy Spirit. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, the old has passed away and all things are new. So when you come up When you come up out of those waters of baptism, you are a new creation. Your sins are washed away. The water represents the washing away of our sin by the blood of Jesus Christ. And now we have a clean slate when we stand before God, and we have a clean slate to go out and do the work of God. And so that is God's plan. The Trinity was there. The Trinity is still there. When you are baptized, when you are born again, the Trinity is there. God the Father speaks through His Son, and the Holy Spirit then comes and empowers you to walk in newness of life, to walk in power, that you can then also be an emissary, be an ambassador, and go into the nations and baptize others in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, immediately then, Jesus went up into the wilderness, tells us in Matthew chapter 4. It says, thus Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Well, there you have two facets, two persons of the Trinity there. You have Jesus Christ going up into the wilderness, and you have the Holy Spirit with him, and the Holy Spirit was guiding him up into the wilderness and counseling him and consoling him and advocating for him, because Jesus Christ was going to meet the devil up there, and it would be a showdown with the devil. And all of this took place at the start of Jesus' ministry. Well, that's where we're going to stop today. I'll take up more of the Trinity next week, part two. And so you won't want to miss that. It's going to be a very good discussion of the Trinity. And so pray about your understanding of the Trinity. For some of you, you may not understand it. Pray, and God will give you wisdom. The Bible says if anyone lacks wisdom, God will give it to him, and he will give it to him liberally without reproach. And so pray that God will give you wisdom and understanding of the Trinity, that you may know what God has for you. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We thank the Lord for that. We praise God for all the many years. We invite you to partner with this ministry and sit down today. Write us out a check of support. Let us know you're listening. Include prayer requests if you have them, and we would be blessed. You will be blessed. The kingdom will be blessed, and we can move forward with this radio broadcast and with the projects we have going here in Africa. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.